So, I believe you will receive Judy as you would receive me, and maybe even better. Amen? I really need a loud amen for this. Amen. Amen. So, let them have it. No, I'm just kidding. You go ahead and preach. Preach the word. Preach the word.
That's what I plan to do. Get your Bibles in your hands and find that book of Joshua. It's early in. It's right after the first five books. It's the sixth book of the Bible, the book of Joshua. And we're going to start right into chapter one this morning. God has been pouring this into me, and I said, God, you got to confirm all of this. And it is absolutely stunning the way God speaks to us. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
As I was preparing this, the words, just the areas that I was preaching on would come to me. I drive past a billboard and blah, there it is. I pick up a book and out falls a piece of paper and there it is. And so I am very excited this morning. I'm excited because I think God is calling this church into something new and something spectacular. And I don't say that lightly. And if it gets you excited, praise God it should. Because something is about to happen here like never before. And I am telling you people that God has some things in his word, even this morning, this message from God. Before God does a move, do you know what he always tells the children of Israel to do every time? Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord is going to do a great work among you. Let's embrace this promise of God this morning. Joshua 1:9. I'm already excited. I've been sitting on this sermon maybe too long. I'm getting a little too... Joshua 1. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. And Dan, that doesn't mean you're dying. That the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place in which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, as far as the great sea, toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God, bless your word. Lord, we know that this was put there for our learning and our instructions. And God, as we walk forward, as we cross over to the new place that you are calling us to be in, I pray, God, that we will be strong and courageous as a congregation and that we will go as we have been commanded to go and tread on this territory, Lord, and claim it for you. Everywhere our foot would go, we take the gospel and we just give you the glory and the praise and we release your great power, Lord, as we go. In the name of Jesus, amen. God gave Jacob some very clear instructions here. And Joshua, what did I say, Jacob? Oh my, I got two sons and I still get them wrong. God gave Joshua some very clear instructions. And the first instruction was to go forward. Go forward. They had been wandering in that desert for 40 years. There were things they needed to learn before they were ready to claim that promises. There were things that God needed to speak into them before they were ready to move forward. And they had to sit in that desert for 40 years. There had to be the breaking of generation sin. There had to be the breaking and the trusting in God, the learning to rely on Him every day for their manna. That manna, by the way, is a type, a shadow of the Word of God. Every day we need to rely on the Word of God, and they needed to do it. And God had promised them this land way back, generations, hundreds and hundreds of years before. And now, here they are. They are on the cusp of moving forward. And God is giving this word to Joshua. It stirs my heart. It gives me goosebumps. I get excited because when God is about to move, hallelujah, things are going to happen. Be strong and courageous. There are several aspects to this instruction to go forward. Firstly, they're to claim the promises. They were promised this land, and I told you this already, but I'm going to tell you something about a promise that was given to Dan and I when we first came here 15 years ago, April 1st. I took some time, and I wouldn't be surprised if roughly right now that this is right around the time when I took it. I went out to the camper and I sought God because I was a city girl. And this is country life. I wasn't sure if I was hearing right from the Lord. God, are you serious? Now I'm a country girl, by the way. I'm all in. I've learned some things about skunks and coyotes and how to shoot a gun right in there. Even battle tomcats. I took some time and I spent with God and I got alone with Him, and God spoke to me very clearly, and He said, and it was almost like an audible voice. If ever I've ever heard an audible voice from God, this was the moment. God said, "My people are hurting. Go to them." So we went and we came. But after we were here for a while, I can remember kneeling down at this altar right there in that spot right there, and I can remember saying, God, this is hard. Where is everybody? And I remember praying for this congregation and praying for this town and praying for strength and praying for courage and all the stuff that you pray for. And I got up, and as I walked away, God said, "Stop. Turn around and look." And I turned around, and I was standing right here. And God said, "This place will not be able to hold them all." That was a promise of God. At the same time, your pastor Dan was at a minister's conference, and all the PAOC ministers are standing there. I'm sure you've heard him tell the story because it's actually quite comical. But God spoke. He knew he was going to get a message. He knew it was for him. There was confirmation in his spirit. So when the word came, he knew. And the word was exponential. Your congregation is going to grow exponentially. And these are promises that were given to this body of believers. And people, we're ready to cross over and we're ready to claim those promises. I believe that it is now the time to go in and to claim the promise. Amen. Yes, by all means, give God that glory. He has promised us something wonderful. It doesn't stop there, though, those commands. You know when you're going in to claim the promised land? Do you know when you're moving forward? You're pushing somebody back. And I'm not talking people. Please don't go there. We wrestle, it's right there. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, the rulers of darkness, and the spiritual wickedness in high places." That's our enemy. Don't make it people or you're going to cross my line. All right, I thought I'd scare you a little. I'm going to tell you, I have never felt such attacks from the enemy as I have this last year. This last year has been the hardest year I can recall since I was 12 years old and I was undergoing sexual abuse and breakups in my home and all sorts of trial. This last year has matched it in agony and pain and trial. But I have a belief about this. You see, Whenever the enemy knows God is about to move, he's got to try to stop it before it starts. Because once that thing gets going, he's got no hope. Because once people get excited about God and once people realize that we can put that enemy under our heel, the enemy is afraid. He's got to stop this thing. And any time I have ever seen a great move of God, at first there has got to be a counter move by the enemy to try to prevent it. But it is not going to happen here. We are going to go forward. And we have revelations from the Holy Spirit. We have the gifts of the Spirit in our arsenal, and we are going to start to use those. I already quoted Ephesians 6, but there's a whole lot more, and we're going to go there. We will. And we're going to face the enemy, and we are going to push him back. But don't think for one second we are going to lose. The enemy has already lost. The Billy Graham quote, you hear it so often this last while, you know. How did that go? Oh, boy, I didn't write it down. Oh, Billy Graham made a great quote about the enemy anyway, and I lost it. I read the last page, and we win. Oh, okay, that's going to turn out real good. That's the quote. Thank you, Pastor Dan. Oh, my goodness. So we're going to be fighting the enemy. We're going to claim the promise, and we're going to go in unity. And Joshua got all the people together, and they wanted to go. And they were saying, we're with you, Joshua. Just be strong and courageous. That's the word they gave to this young leader, Joshua. I don't think he was all that young, by the way. He had to be over 40 because he was 40 years in the desert. So he's probably around 50, 60, maybe more. Anyway, something happened when they went to cross over the river. There was three tribes, Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh. Now, you guys may not know this, or you might know this, so just a little bit of a history lesson real quick here. This is kind of a sad point. These three tribes, they had conquered some land just before they got to go into the Promised Land, and it was good for cattle, and it was nice land. And these three tribes decided, you know, we don't really want to live in the Promised Land. We want to live here, outside of the Promised Land, on this side of the Jordan. And Joshua said, fine, you stay there. Go with that. But you stand with your brethren, and you help us to fight this war before you sit back on your laurels. And they said, yeah, we'll do that. We see later on, after they'd conquered as much of the land as they were going to do, they went back to their homeland on the other side of the Jordan River. The Jordan River separated them, and they set up a replica altar. And if you want to check this out later, just go to Joshua 22. It's there around verse 30 onward. And these three tribes decided not to go forward. And they decided that this is where they wanted to be. And they did that because the land they saw was more pleasing to their flesh than the land west of the river. They did that because they chose not to embrace the promise, but to live in a place of comfort. They chose not to live in the center of God's will, but to live in a place of comfort and pleasure. I believe it's a dangerous place to live. I believe that's a dangerous place to live. Bill Kiefer, a wonderful theologian, he wrote this, and I'm going to quote him verbatim here. What was the problem with their choice to stay on the east side of the Jordan? We know they set up the replica altar at one point, and they said, you know what? It's too hard. I'm leaving the quote here for a minute. It's too hard for us to cross the Jordan and go to Jerusalem to worship every year. That was a command by God. They were to cross the Jordan and go and worship together in unity every year, and it was too hard. Does that remind us of anything? Sometimes Christians, we find it too hard to get together in unity with brethren of the Lord. It's too hard to make the effort sometimes to get up and get to church. And this is where they were at in a bigger way, but this is where they were at. So they said, oh, let's just put up a replica of the altar in Jerusalem and we'll just worship there because it's too hard. Well, first, they missed out on the promise. They didn't go forward. And then they found worshiping God just a burden. God became a burden to them. Instead of a delight, it was something you had to do. Instead of something you chose to do. Instead of exalting the God Almighty from heaven and being his chosen people. Oh, it's too hard. This is serious. And going back to Bill Kiefer. What was the problem with their choice to stay on the east side of the Jordan? They pointed it out to themselves in verse 25 of Joshua 22. They say God made the Jordan a border between them and the rest of Israel. In actuality, they are the ones who made the border, not God. The result was the same. There was a division between them, the rest of the people and God, and the perfect will of God. The border created some weaknesses that the enemy eventually exploited. I love what Bill Kiefer wrote. And so when I tell you I am excited and we have promises, can we all in unity embrace this promise? Because we are going forward. We are going forward and we are going to take down the enemy. We're going to claim some territory and we're going to claim some promises. I'm going to tell you some stories later on in my message that God is already doing this. God is already starting to stir in this community. People are walking in our back door. Amen. Kids Zone is doubling. Things are already starting to stir. And I can't wait to see what God has in store. So the first instruction was to go forward and embrace that promise. The second instruction was to embrace the word. Embrace the words. Verses 6 to 8. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be very strong. Be strong and very courageous. Very courageous appears in there. The word very, does that cause any of you guys to go, what? Because I'm going to tell you what. The next thing it says in there is about following the word. And if you don't think it takes courage to do what God wants you to do and to listen to his word, wow, you probably haven't tried a lot then, because it takes courage. It takes courage, it takes humility, and it is dangerous territory. When God is speaking to your heart about something that's going on in your heart, it takes courage to change. It takes courage to stand up for God. It takes courage to do what the word of God says instead of what the status quo says. This takes courage. And so it says, be very courageous to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you to do. Don't turn from it from the right or to the left. That way you're going to have success wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You're to speak it. You're to meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all, again, that word all, that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. This is more than reading the word. This is more. I know we push the Berean Club a lot, but there's a reason for that, because I believe that is the foundation of every believer. You need to know this book. And you need to know it, because how can you be careful to do all of it if you only know little pieces of it? You need to know it all. There is stuff in there. There is correction in there. There is hope in there. There is guidance in there. There is things that will lift you up and give you courage and strength and power. And there's so much. We need it all, not just pieces of it. And Moses told them in Deuteronomy 11:18 about how to do it even more so. He says, you'll therefore impress these words of mine on your heart and on your soul. Impress them in there. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand and as frontals on your forehead. They make phylacteries now, and they tied them on their hands on the forehead. I don't think that's quite what Moses meant. Moses meant, watch what you're doing. Watch what you're doing. Watch what you're thinking. This is applying the word of God. And you shall teach them to your sons, talking to them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you rise up. What does that mean? That means that when you're going through life, when the enemy is barging in and you're going through life and you're facing challenges or blessings, you tell your children and you say, Joshua, my love, I love you. Joshua, this is what God is doing in my life. And this is how the Bible applies to this situation. And you see that person over there? You see that one that honked their horn at me? I'm going to pray for them instead of getting mad. Conviction. This is what this means. As you walk through life, you apply the word of God to your situation, and that's how you teach your children. Now, every person we know, I'm not judging here, every person is responsible for their own walk with the Lord. So if someone's child isn't following the Lord, don't say, oh, you let them down, you didn't do that. No, that's not always the case. Everyone is responsible for their own soul. Everyone in this room is responsible. Nobody inherited salvation. It came through Jesus Christ and no other way. Verse 19, talking to your children when you sit down, when you walk on the road, apply it, apply it, apply it, apply it, apply it. Apply it when you sit down and have coffee with your lady friends. And if the conversation goes sideways, apply the Word of God and get it right. God wants, demands. I changed the word demands to wants, and God said, no, you shouldn't have. God demands our obedience. There is a clear and distinct connection between obedience and success. And we can hold back the Spirit of God. There's enough scriptures to support that. We can stop a move of God just by our lack of obedience. God demands our obedience. Ephesians 26-27 teaches about the washing of yourself in his word, that he might sanctify her. This is referring to the church in verse 26, that Jesus might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present himself to the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she should be holy and blameless. Embrace the word. Go forward, embrace the word, and trust God. Trust God. Verse 5 of our text in Joshua 1. Me and names, I don't know what's going on there. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you. Oh man, wouldn't you like to have God say that? Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you everywhere you go. I'm thinking of a New Testament scripture in 2 Timothy, and I believe it's verse 7. God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and a sound mind. We'll think clearly. We will think clearly when we walk with the power of God and a heart of love. You'll think a lot more clearly than if you allow the enemy to cloud your thinking. Trust God and he'll be with you. There's a situation that occurred just after Joshua got going, and he was seeking God before they went into the battle with Jericho, which is what a good man and a woman of God, I have to say woman because I'm here, what a good man and a good woman of God would do before we go in and we face the enemy as we seek God. And Joshua 5:13-15, I'm going to read this to you. I think it's up there on the PowerPoint. Now it came about when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and he looked. And behold, a man was standing opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. By the way, this is Jesus. This is so cool. I want to see that. And Joshua went to him and said to him, because he didn't know who it was, are you for us or for our adversaries? Whose side, John? Whose side are you on? Are you with me or are you with them? The answer of Jesus was so profound. He said, no. Rather, indeed, I come now as captain of the hosts of the Lord. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and bowed down and said to him, what has my Lord to say to his servant? And the captain of the Lord said to Joshua, remove your sandals from your feet, for the place you're standing is holy. When we saw the Lion of Judah walk through here, this is holy ground. This is holy ground. The Lion of Judah showed up this morning, people. That was not just her imagination. I felt it. I'm hoping you felt it. The Lion of Judah is here. And I'm going to tell you, it is important that she had that vision this morning. Because the lion is our leader. You see, sometimes we get all messed up in our thinking, and it just causes problems. And we need to line our mind up with the Word of God this day. That is, as God is not for you. What? No. This is not your church, and God is not for you. You are for God. This church is for God. We are His servants. He does not serve us. You need to say amen. He is your captain and your commander, and if you're going to follow him, you are his servant. Your leaders seek him, and you seek him, and he will lead. And when we see him, we need to fall on our faces and say, God, what would you have your servant to do? We have to undo a lot of thinking because we get into the material things and we get into playing church. And it's time we have to stop because we have a promise and we have to cross over and we have to follow the Lion of Judah. We have to follow him. He has not come here to devour us. That's the enemy lion. They have the Lion of Judah to lead us. And his sword is drawn. And what is his sword? Somebody tell me, Ephesians 6. What is the sword? Loud. The word. The word of God. His sword is drawn. And where has he put that word? Somebody, quick. In our hearts. And in our lips. And in our minds. And we're washed by it. We're washed and we're sanctified by it if we're doing it right. Wow, what a powerful encounter. Joshua went with the presence of God. To trust God is to know that we go forward with the presence of God. Dan preached this. Dan, I never forgot it when you preached this. Moses didn't want to go forward without the presence of God. Exodus 33, 12 to 23, the Lord replied when Moses said this, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, don't send us up from here. If your presence doesn't go with us, don't send us up from here." We had his presence today. He spoke to us. He gave us visions. We have his presence. James 4:8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. But did you know the rest of that verse is about sanctification? I know that the Lord God of hosts, the angel armies, we sang that song, is with me. I know who goes before me. I know who goes behind. The God of angel armies is by my side. And sometimes the enemy comes in like a flood. It seems maybe for some of you like every area of your life is being under attack. I've been there, I get it. But that's usually before something great is about to happen. Something great and mighty is about to happen. And this is what happens when you claim the promises of God. Isaiah 59:19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will lift up a standard against him. Sometimes it seems like the enemy is winning. He's not. He's not. We have the Lord of hosts, the King of kings, the God Almighty. I'm going to wrap this up. Benji is going to come and lead us in a few choruses here if you want to stay. I believe, people, that we as a church are being called to cross the Jordan. And I understand not everybody's going to feel it. Some want to stay. That's okay. But I think we've stayed in this desert long enough, and it's time to go in and conquer under the banner of God. And we're calling this congregation to start to move forward. You have a job to do. There is not one person in this room, I don't care who you are, not one person in this room, not one person in this room, not one person in this room that does not have a purpose and a place in the army of God. Not one person in this room has nothing they should be doing. Every person in this room has got the anointing of God upon them. I don't want any of you to be like the tribes of Reuben and Gad and Manasseh, where God is a burden. We're going to go forward in victory. We are not going to be satisfied to live outside the will of God and to miss out on the great things that are going to take place. The Israelites wanted to go back to Egypt so many times, but now they were at the promise and they wanted to go forward. They were ready. If you're here this morning and you want to go forward, I want you to stand up right where you are. I want you to stand up. If you're here this morning and say, I want to be part of this army. I want to move forward. I don't want you to stand up just because everybody else is and you're going to feel like a sore thumb. I want you to stand up because you're feeling it. Because I think God is stirring your hearts. I want you to step out. I want you to come forward, and we're going to pray. You see these quilts here? A woman of God felt led by God to make these quilts so that we can give them to people when they're hurting and to people when they're cold and to people when they need a comfort. That's using her gifts for the glory of God. You don't have to be a preacher. You just have to be willing. I want you to come forward if you're willing, because we are going to pray for you. I'm going to lay hands on every single servant that would say, I want to be part of that army. I want to be part of this moving forward. There is not one person here that doesn't have a purpose in God's army.
How great.